Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Hazel? You pressed the one to raise your hand. Did you have something you wanted to say? Okay, maybe not. All right. So we are going to go ahead and proceed. I did go over the minutes. I didn't email them back out. Is there no sound? Testing 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, Sister Lorraine, are you still not able to hear? Three. Okay, she may need to go out and come back in to establish her sound. It's kind of weird because, oh, I know why, because I made you guys moderators. I can't really control your sound now. So it looks like you're muted on your end, Sister Lorraine. Okay. All right. Are you able to hear now? You're muted on your end, so you may need to enable your mic on your end. Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. I have a lot to do today, this evening. Testing 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I don't know why your mic or your speakers are not coming up. And at that, Sister Lorraine. All right, let's go ahead and pray in. Hopefully she'll get it worked out. And we'll go ahead and proceed. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second? Okay, and my volume is really low. Let me raise my volume on my speakers. Raise your volume so I can hear you guys. I think you got it worked out, Sister Lorraine, with your speakers now. So you should be able to hear me as well. All right. So the meeting has come to order. We will do our statement of faith and pray in. Let me pull that up. And then once we pray in, then Samaria, you'll do the reading of the minutes from the last meeting. Okay, I believe that all scripture is given by the
inspiration. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear us?
Can anyone hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, apparently she can't hear us.
Let's see where you got this one.
Well, that's Sister Hazel. Okay. Maybe, I'm talking now. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you hear that? Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
I hear you.
Yeah, I know you can hear. For some reason, she's not able to hear. I don't know what's going on. On her end. I might just have her just call into the 516 number.
Dre, come down here. See what this dog got to it right here.
Okay. All right, so let us do our statement of faith, and then we will go ahead and start this. I may need to reboot the server, but Sister Mary, you can hear, and Sister Denise can hear. The one having the problem is Sister Lorraine. Okay. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Yah, and we lift you up, Father. We magnify your name, and we give you all glory, honor, and praise. For you are worthy, O Father. You are worthy. You are worthy. And we just bow down before you on today, Father, and we thank you for everything in our heart and in our mind, Father. And we ask that you would guide us in this meeting. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Our scriptures for today, Psalms 133. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. And the word of the Most High reads, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life evermore. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. And Sister Mary, if you, I will bring the minutes up, and if you will go ahead and read them. Let me see what happened to them. I guess I overwrote that. Let me put them back up here again. The meeting's from the 2nd of March meeting.
Group files. You want me to read my notes of these? You going to put them back up?
Yeah, I'm going to put them back up. All right, there you go.
Okay, thank you. Our last meeting was March 2nd, 2023, at 7 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Lorraine, Sister Denise, Sister Mary, and Sister Claire. Uh-oh, I went too far. The discussion of the meeting, we were shown the neutral charge for the microgreens. Brother Miles has been trying different things and ways to use microgreens. He's growing broccoli greens, fennel green, red cabbage, and pea sprouts. We were shown the label that Brother Miles is working on for the dehydrated microgreens. Brother Miles submitted the papers, submitted the paperwork for the SNAP EBT card and equipment. Bylaws. Section 11.14 A to C. Contract termination policy. Section 11.14 C and D has been changed. C is now D and D is now C. We voted on this matter, all agreed. Section 11.15 A to C. Housemaid non-rent contract termination policy. We have to discuss this a little further because it's far as we can, I think. Yes. Oh. Because this is about domestic abuse, so we have to look into this again. That's it, Brother Miles.
Okay. So the echo coming from. All right. Who has their speakers on their end?
Not me.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. It seems like it's gone away now. All right, so update on the microgreen business. The SNAP EBT, we got approved for it, and I received the terminal today, went through my training, you know, setup of the terminal and training on the different transactions. I received the banner that says that we are veteran-owned and that we are EBT. EBT authorized. I got the packet in that, you know, that says that we accept SNAP and EBT from the government. I bought some drill because I want to hang them rather than, you know, if it's windy, then those plaques won't, you know, they won't stay standing. So I was going to drill some holes in them and hang them from the side of the tent or the canopy that I sell from. So hang them from the front so that, you know, it says EBT, we're authorized, you know, with the official flyer from the government, and then the EBT SNAP, you know, do's and don'ts as far as, you know, what they can buy and what they can't. Want to have that up in English and in Spanish. That's it on that part. Then I tried to increase. I had increased the seed density on the trays when it was cooler on a larger tray and on a smaller tray, and they grew up, you know, they grew fine. And so I did a whole batch like that. But it got warmer in the daytime, you know, starting to get up in the 70s, high 70s, and I think they got, you know, with the extra seeds, they got too warm and half of them didn't germinate, or they had a white mold that came up with them. What looked like a white mold to me, I couldn't distinguish whether it was you know, the root hairs trying to grow and, you know, the seed trying to seek water, or whether it was a mold. So I sprayed them with the peroxide, and I think part of it was mold and part of it was root hairs. I was able to kill the mold, but it may have killed some of the seeds as well. So only half of them germinated, and me trying to kill the you know, the mold has kind of retarded their growth, even those that came up. And so I really don't have a product for the market tomorrow. I may have enough to fulfill one of my orders. Then I got people that, you know, have come back to the market, and they're ordering 4 and 5 at a time on a, you know, consistent basis. I got an email today from one of the young ladies that I showed. he came as the market was closing last Friday. And so, you know, I let her taste the microgreens and told her the health benefits of it. She sent me an email today and then wanted to order like two of everything. And, but I'm not going to have the crop to sell to her. So I just, you know, sort of advised her that it takes about, if she orders like that, then it's going to take about 14 days because I usually grow to order. And then I take to the market what I have left over. As I told you guys before, I wasn't, you know, I was trying to increase the volume so that I could get the, start creating the microgreen powders. And that's why I tried to increase the seed density in the trays so that I could produce more microgreens and then create the powders that we're going to be selling and not just from, you know, what we don't sell. Because right now I'm just about selling out every market, whatever I take, you know, whatever people have already ordered. And then whatever I take, I am just about selling out. I usually bring back one, maybe one of something. I might take 20 out. And so this market tomorrow, I think all I'm going to be able to do is try to fulfill the one subscription that I have, the guy that comes back, you know, he won't take out a subscription, but he comes back every week and he orders one of everything. And so I text him and told him, you know, I may not be able to fulfill this order this week of a crop failure. And, you know, I'll see what he says. He's a pretty nice guy. You know, we have a good rapport. And he comes to the market to bring his mother out. But, he always picks up microgreens. I'm also starting to get people asking for microgreens by the pound, which is way more expensive because I'm selling them like $4.75 an ounce. So 2 ounces would cost you about, what, $9.50? Then if they're at the market, I just go ahead and give it to them, those, for like $7. I'm probably going to start enforcing the $4.75 an ounce for them so that I can start making the required money that I really need to make. We are right now financially sitting at about in repeat orders a week as far as, you know, substantial repeat orders, about $150 that are people that are committed. And then we're doing about 150 to 200 on the average. So we're doing maybe 300 a week. That's a little bit over 1,000 a month. So, you know, we are gaining traction and need to go back to the normal seeding density because it's only going to get warmer here. And so I've already lowered the AC to like from 75 to down to 69 degrees. So that we can keep down on the mold, and I'll change the seeding density. I only increased it by 5 grams. So the small trays, I usually put like 10 to 15 grams of seed in them, and I see how much, you know, how much that produces. They should be able to go up to about 25 grams, but I think I'll only be able to get that density in the middle of winter when it's the coldest. When it starts to heat up, then that many seeds in one place, they generate their own heat as well internally in that tray. And so they get too hot and generate mold, okay? So I'm just going to take it back to the normal so I know what I'm producing. And be able to, produce a consistent crop every week. I've been producing a consistent crop every week. So I just try to get more out of it, especially as more people ask. I think I currently have 20 trays out there that I'm only getting half of the volume out of it this particular grow cycle. I know, and I increased the seed density on all of them. So I'm going to take all of them back. You know, I'm going to redo them after this harvest and take them all back to, you know, the seed densities I've been using. And then some of those I may even have to reduce as it gets hotter. So produce more trays with a smaller density of seed so that we don't create, you know, don't get the mold in the crop. Now, this particular mold was white, and it's not, you know, it's not devastating. And from my research in the hydroponic, this type of mold you can just wash off, and it, you know, it'll just come off. You know, as long as it's not green or black or dark gray, then it's not a problem. And this is, you know, no white. So I could have just washed it off, but I don't even want to trust that. So we will see what happens. I'll see what I can get out of this harvest, and I need to go in and already start another harvest or another seeding so that they will come out of germination by Monday, and that gives them I'll put them up under the light for 1 or 2 days. I mean, not up under the light, but under, you know, in darkness. That makes the plant try to seek for light, and they, you know, they grow up, reach for the sky, looking for light, and then I'll put them up under the light, and that makes them green up. Then I'll start that tonight, and then I will start another batch. Try to do it after the market tomorrow, because I need to give that a full 2 weeks to grow, so that we're getting, you know, so that it's available, and I have it there for the next 2 weeks. I was supposed to go to a market today, but last night I received an email saying that the EB is going to be delivered today, and so I canceled going because I had to sign for that terminal, and the only one they could sign for it was me, and I didn't want to miss that delivery, so I didn't go to a market that was, you know, it's a little bit ways away, but I really didn't have a product to sell. I would have just been giving out samples because this crop was not, you know, didn't come up the right way, and I wouldn't have had anything to sell there. So it was a kind of a blessing in a way, this terminal coming in. But, you know, I have gone to markets and just give out information, give out contact information, and have some sprout as samples. And so I let them, you know, try the sprout. Tell them, you know, that the microgreen is just a little bit older in age, a little bit bigger, and, you know, have made sales that way as well. So a lot of these markets are going to close up for the summer. Some of them are going to go indoors because the heat here is oppressive. You know, so when it gets too hot, people don't come out. And if they got to shop in the heat, they're not going to come out. And so they try to take, you know, I know one or two that take it inside. Other than that, I'm going to have to start looking for other venues I'm going to start marketing heavily the subscription service and doing the email list. Everybody that come by, I try to get their email. But what I'm finding out is that a lot of people that are here are snowbirds. They come down for the winter, and then when it starts to get hot, they go back north. And so they're not really wanting to commit to anything because they won't be here during the summer. And so I need to look at a different venue and find out how I can market more so to the local population that stays around. And sort of promote the delivery service so that, you know, they're not having to come out, really sell that to them that, hey, you know, you can still get these during the summer and you don't have to come out to the farmer's market. That means that they have to submit, you know, they have to either If they won't submit to a, you know, do a subscription, then, you know, they will have to order, you know, and every time I tell them, hey, it's 2 weeks, because anybody that signs up for a subscription, they're going to take priority, and then they would have to order 2 weeks ahead. And, you know, if they say they want it every 2 weeks, and they'll commit to that, but they don't want to do the subscription, then, you know, I'll still do that. But the goal is to have them to do a subscription. The people who are on food stamps, they are able to sign up for a subscription. According to what I was told by the USDA. So, you know, I'm going to try to sell that as well, begin to try to sell that and market that. Not a lot of people in the farmers markets that I've been going to, not a lot of them are on EBT. Most of the ones that I've seen on EBT are the vendors.
Huh.
People out there selling. But the people buying, you know, they are in retirement communities, and they have, for the most part, they have money. And so they're not, you know, that aspect of it doesn't really turn them on. But I will also start going around and passing out the business cards, going to local stores in different communities, and just, you know, asking, could I put this flyer in there or put this card in there? And if they have people that want to, you know, eat healthy and they're on EBT, SNAP EBT, then we deliver and they can call this number or do whatever. And then we will set it up. So again, the goal is to get this up to 3,000-4,000 a month, 5,000 right now. We are at about 1,000. Once I get that high, then, you know, I'll be able to hire somebody. Because 4,000 or 5,000 myself, I really only need 2 out of it to do what I need to do here for myself. And then the other one, you know, we will use it to hire someone to help out, that kind of thing. So that's where we're at with that. Where we're at with that. And so that's all I have on that. Let me bring up the any questions?
No. I think I get it all down.
Okay. All right. Sister Lorraine, you came back in the room. Are you able to hear?
Boot up my computer and I can hear.
Okay. All right. So according to the bylaws, according to the minute, we need to go back to section 1115.
Yes.
Okay. So let's do that. And I will share my screen in just a second here. Find. Okay. So let me share my screen. And we may not take the whole 2 hours tonight, or 3 hours. Start sharing. All right, if you will check and see if you can see that document. All right, let me make it a little bit larger. Thank you. read this whole thing. I'm not going to comment on it, and we won't make any comments. We'll read it first, and then we'll come back and see where we need to change with that. Anybody do any thinking on this over the past week? I can't say that I did. I'm going to say I didn't already.
I didn't either.
I did.
Okay. So we'll just read it, and then we will let me text somebody real quick. I need them to tell somebody that I'm going to try to call them. This is somebody new who's been listening, but they were referred by Sister Clara, and I need an email address from them so I can include them on notifications when we're doing stuff. They want to be a part of everything, so hold on just a second.
So is Sister Clara online?
She's she had a previous commitment. So she is supposed to be here a little bit later. Okay. All right. So let's just read this. And if you on your end, while I'm reading, if you will mute your speakers so that I hear myself back, or mute your, you know, your mic or whatever. Housemate non-rent contract termination policy. Where are my glasses? I start reading stuff that ain't even there. If a member or members of YFCC pod want the contract of a pod mate to be terminated for non-rent violation, that person must provide evidence that such a breach of contract has occurred to YFCC membership, to the YFCC member coordinator or membership officer. Evidence may take the form of emails or other written communications or written complaints specifying non-rent violations and dates of occurrence, a pod work job log, or other forms that deemed appropriate by the membership coordinator. I thought we already read this, and okay, well, I said we're just going to read it, so let me stick to what I said. Before investigating the non-rent violations, the membership coordinator will explain that YFCC grievance procedure to the reporting pods, provide them with the contract information of the current YFCC committee, and suggest filing a grievance as an alternative to serving a termination notice. The membership coordinator or membership officer must inform the coordinating committee that a contract termination has been requested before beginning an investigation. You may request the assistance of the coordinating committee in conducting the investigation. The membership coordinator or membership officer or appropriate substitute as chosen by the coordinating committee shall investigate the complaints and review the evidence presented by the reporting pod mate. They will ask other involved pod mates about the alleged violations as appropriate, determine whether there is a reasonable chance that the complaint is valid, and secure any necessary documentation. They will inform the pod mate being reported of the complaint and request for termination and allow them 5 days to respond to the complaint. The length of this allowed response period may be altered by the membership officer to a total of no less than 48 hours or no more than 14 days. Okay. The membership coordinator will present their findings to the coordinating committee and make a recommendation as to whether a 5-day or 14-day is appropriate. If appropriate, termination notice should be served. They may make their presentation at the next regularly scheduled coordinating committee meeting. Request an emergency coordinating committee meeting be scheduled, or in the event of an emergency, may present their findings over the coordinating committee email listserv. They will also share their findings with YFCC lawyer. We said we'd have to find somebody to meet that, to ask if there is sufficient evidence to prove a violation of the contract has occurred. The coordinating committee may decide by a majority vote to direct the membership coordinator to issue a termination notice. In the event that a pod mate reports an incident of domestic abuse, okay, so I think one and two we had already agreed upon this process. 1115A, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I, 4I, 4, 4, 1, 4, 2, and 4, 3. The member coordinator will present their findings, B and B1, and B2. I think we'd already agreed on this right here. The problem is when we ran into C, where we started talking about domestic abuse. Mary or anyone?
Yeah, I think we had we were talking about the domestic
now
abuse.
What is domestic violence?
Okay, so I'm just gonna start reading again at C then, because that's where the domestic abuse starts at, and we will consider. I didn't hear anything wrong, you know, besides the lawyer and. The above section. So, you know, and we will assign that to someone who we probably will assign it to someone and have to give them what things would justify and let them look over and see if it meets those requirements that justifies termination.
Right.
Or we'll have to assign this to an officer. That I think would have to be a third party, maybe, and don't have a vested interest in this, but it couldn't be somebody on the committee or something like that.
Right.
So we'll look at that particular wording for the YFCC lawyer. But everything else, I think, you know, looked fine. I don't think we – did we change – I think I put the changes in here and saved it, so I don't think we changed anything up here.
No, but you said the lawyer was the only thing that we was going to change.
Okay. So we'll look at the lawyer and see how we can meet that. We don't want it to be outside of the community. So we'll look at that function. So C, in the event that a pod may report an incident of domestic abuse or intimate partner violence between YFCC members, the membership coordinator may, with majority approval of the coordinating committee, issue a 5-day notice. This shall also inform the victim of her or his rights under the State Safe Housing Act, Section 704 of the Wisconsin. We know we've got to change that, which includes is included in the membership contract. If the pod mate obtains a restraining order from a court, and YFCC is authorized to evict the perpetrator without a right to cure. If the membership coordinator or officer declines to serve notice, or if the coordinating committee does not approve the issuance of a notice, the members requesting that notice be served may appeal to the issue to the YFCC board. When notice is approved by both coordinating committee and YFCC lawyer, the membership coordinator shall proceed to serve a 5-day termination notice with right to cure, which specifies the particular behaviors which the member is being asked to cure. If the member cures the behavior within 5 days and reports to the YFCC membership coordinator or membership officer in writing that they have done so, then the notice shall be cured and the member may continue to live in the pod. If the member repeats those behaviors within those five days, then their contract is automatically terminated, and the membership coordinator will ask them to move out of the pod. If the membership satisfies the original notice, but within the following year repeats any non-rent breach, members of the pod may again request that the said member contract be terminated, and the process begins again at step one for the new offense. Members of two serious non-rent breaches within 1 year forfeit their assumption for contract renewal. At the time of their lease expiring, they may or may not be issued a new lease at the direction of the YFCC coordinating committee as advised by membership coordinator and or the membership officer. YFCC may require a pod member to participate in a mediation meeting as a requirement for hearing a notice or as a step to avoid the issuance of a notice. This meeting may be overseen by the YFCC Grievance Committee, the membership coordinator, the membership officer, the outside mediators, as deemed appropriate by the coordinating committee. It is a breach of occupancy agreement for which a member may be evicted for a member to refuse to participate in good faith in a mediation meeting requested by YFCC. When a member fails to satisfy the terms of a termination, they will be notified within 48 hours that their contract has been terminated and informed that they have a right to appeal the termination to the board of directors. Appeals must be filed with the YFCC coordinating officer within 3 days of the member's notification that their contract has been terminated in order to stay the filing of an eviction action. If no appeal is filed and the member refuses to move out of the pod, the membership coordinator and coordinating committee shall request a YFCC lawyer file an eviction action of the contract. An eviction action requires the member to physically remove themselves from the premises. Okay, a lot there. This abuse, starting in C, starting here, we need to break this down first, because it looks like, to me, let's read this carefully and then see if we need to make some changes here. And I need to look at the Arizona statute and because some certain things are going to have in here. Okay. In the event, so we're going to start at C. In the event that a pod may report an incident of domestic abuse or intimate partner violence between YFCC members, the membership coordinator may, with majority approval of the coordinating committee, issue a 5-day notice. Okay. They shall also inform the victim of her or his rights under the State Safe Housing Act, which is included in the membership contract. If the pod mate obtains a restraining order from a court, then YFCC is authorized to evict the perpetrator without a right to cure. Let's stop there. And no, I want to do D as well here. So I think these go together. If the membership coordinator or the officer declines to serve notice, okay, no, we'll just stick with C for right. Okay, what is your guys' understanding of C, paragraph C, verses 1 and 2, or subparagraphs 1 and 2?
Well, that if they have domestic service, would you give them a warning first or something?
Well, this is talking about domestic abuse, because playing your music too loud could be a disturbance.
Okay, well.
Just talking about abuse.
Domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them a warning first?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that we would, pending the investigation, safety is first. So this could be... if they're living together, be a husband and wife, they let nobody check up.
Right.
So when they say domestic abuse or intimate partner violence, see, they're coming from the standard of what, the world?
Right.
So we wouldn't be having no intimate partner scenario. If they're not married, they wouldn't be living together like that. Okay, so so I think domestic abuse. But see, domestic abuse could also include what? Child abuse? So let me put this this way.
Did you say domestic or child abuse?
I'm gonna spell this out. So does that make it clearer?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when we, so safety would be first in my mind. If somebody, you know, if a spouse or a child says that they're being abused, then we need some way or some place to put the person that's been what accused. Mm-hmm. You don't just want to kick them out of the community without what, first investigating.
Right.
But we do want to, you know, for safety, to remove them from that, that domicile.
Right.
Or remove whoever's being abused, either one. So that they can, so that they can feel like they're in a safe environment. Because if you leave them there, you know, let's just talk worst case scenario. A husband is abusing the wife, literally really abusing her, and she fears for her life, then she shouldn't have to stay in that environment, or he shouldn't be allowed to stay in that environment until we can find out whether the allegations are true.
Right.
And so we need some mechanism, some type of mechanism, to where we remove the offender or the, what do they call it, the alleged offender. Because at this time it's just alleged, it's not proven. So somebody has made an allegation. So the alleged offender be removed from the premise, from that, that pod, stay in another pod and restricted from going near that person. And then we have to be able to, what, enforce that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have to give ourselves a time frame to do what, investigation? So that we can establish, yeah, this is true. So if it's spousal abuse, then of course the spouse is probably going to be the one making the, what, the complaint.
Right.
And if they have children, then the children will usually be able to substantiate it one way or the other. If they don't have children, then more than likely, if somebody's getting their behind kicked like that, somebody else has heard it. Or they have talked to somebody else, or the spouse has bragged to somebody else something. We have to find a way to substantiate it. Now, if we're not able to substantiate and that person still doesn't feel safe, then, you know, we're going to have to be able to say, okay, then you guys are going to have to, you know, go into separate pods. Because you don't want to make somebody say they got to live with somebody that they don't feel safe with. So we have to be able to, you know, whether they move in with somebody who is single or, and, you know, the same sex, that kind of deal. I'm just saying we got to have a mechanism in place where if this happens, we have some place for to put the offender, and if we can't justify it, that the person still doesn't feel safe, we still have to handle that.
Yeah. How would you handle that?
Only thing we could do is bring in some type of, or have sure that when we do this, that we have a, either an extra empty domicile.
Mm-hmm.
That they could go into, or they move in. They move in with someone temporarily until we can, you know, get another dome put in. and they are now, for the most part, what, separated? Because if we can't prove it, but the allegation is being made and the person is saying they don't feel safe, either we separate them or we make one of them leave or they both have to leave. Those are all our options. Don't talk to me because y'all I can't interpret them
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because I don't know.
I think what it is saying is if they report domestic abuse, that when you give that 5-day notice, you're giving that 5-day notice to the person who is abusing. So they have 5 days, and then you have to provide some place, like you said, for the person, regardless of whether it's proven or not, because you say you have 5 days. So within that time, you have to provide a place for that person if they don't feel safe. I think that's what number one under there is saying, that you inform them. And I know this is Wisconsin statutes, but there are places, but this is outside of the community, of course, where there are places where women can go, or men, if they are being abused, you know, for their safety. So you provide some safety for that person for that, at least that 5-day period, where if they want to not stay there, there's a place for them to go where they feel safe.
Right, and what I'm saying is we do not want to take this outside of the community. So we don't want to consider sending some, you know, a woman to a better woman's shelter.
Right.
So we need to provide our own facility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Internally to handle this. And because, again, in this instance, until it's proven, safety comes first.
Right.
The person's, you know, safety comes first. So either we tell the abuser they got to move out and they can move into this domicile or whatever, or we tell the person who is making the accusation that you got to move out and go into this, you know, move into this place, or we might even move them in with somebody else, so that if it was, let's say it's a woman, and I'm just stuff out here right now.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a woman, then she would move in with another single woman.
Right.
So that she's not alone. That type of deal. Or if it's a man, he can move in with another single man. Until, you know, the... they're saying 5 days here. We can change to whatever we want. But... we want to make sure first, number one, above everything else, is that safe. Okay. And then we need to do an immediate investigation. Can't, you know, dilly-dally around with it. But, you know, get it done. You know, if they're just husband and wife, they have no children, then we talk to the neighbors. You know, if they got a pod neighbor, hey, yeah, they're arguing all the time and yada, yada, yada. And have you observed any, you know, because I would hope that if any of the community members observe something like that, that they would bring it forth themselves, because that should not be going on.
Right.
You know, not, you know, no physical violence like that shouldn't be going on. You know, a husband and wife will argue and they can fight, and that's their business. That's going to be one of those areas where, you know, you don't jump into it unless it does become what, physical.
Just right.
Okay, because I truly believe that you'll be overstepping, you know, boundaries. Now that's just my personal opinion, because husband and wives, I know, I get into some arguments. But I'm never going to raise my hand. because sometimes people just won't, they won't hear what you're saying, or you're not going to hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's domestic disputes are to be expected. Domestic violence is a whole other thing.
Right.
So if we have, you know, if they have neighbors and the neighbors say, yeah, we hear them arguing all the time, but we don't, you know, we don't hear no fist fighting or anything like that, or him or her hitting him, because it can go both ways.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, nobody's coming out with a black eye or cuts or bruises and stuff like that. We're not noticing any of those types of things. Then, for the most part, we stay out of that. But if it's, you know, physical violence being noted, if it's a community member noticing it, then they should say something, even before the spouse complains, because it should not be going on. But if, you know, it's not noticed or nobody's come forth in the investigation, then it's going to come down to whether that person feels safe living with that other person. And if they don't, then, but we can't, I'm putting out different scenarios. If we can't substantiate it, you know, they're saying it, but trying to make sure that somebody's not bringing false allegations.
Right.
Because I hate to say it that way, but some people can be manipulative like that. And if they know the rules, well, I'll just get you kicked out.
Right.
You know, and nothing substantiated. So that's, you know, safety first and then substantiation. Now, if it's substantiated, then the person has to, the abuser has to leave right away. They are terminated, period.
All right.
Because that, you know, slapped her. You don't accidentally just slap somebody.
You don't have to be a slap.
Right. Now, if that spouse wants to still be with that person, as you said, you had a sister-in-law or a sister who husband beat her, and then when you jumped on him, she jumped on you.
Right.
Then they would both have to go.
Both of them have to go, right.
They would both have to go. Okay. Because there's something clearly wrong there. And, you know, if she didn't want him brought forward, then she should have never complained.
Right.
Type of deal. So, safety first, then, you know, authenticating whether the abuse is actually happening. If it's actually happening, then the abuser should be made to, you know, we're going to treat it like it's what, a court order?
Right.
Our court that found you guilty, you got to go.
You got it right.
Okay, and you got to go yesterday.
Right.
So, because we don't want you, you know, sitting around plotting how you can hurt somebody.
Right. Okay, so that's, so what about child abuse?
Child abuse, yeah, that is a whole other thing.
Yes, it is.
And may have to take that one to the world, because the child doesn't have, you know, we have no say over the child. We have no legal say over the child. So if it's child abuse like that, we may have to take that to the world, because I don't know how we would handle that.
I won't either.
Child really wants to be taken from their parents. Even when they're being abused, they don't want to be taken away.
That's right.
Because it's mom.
But that's even with domestic violence, Brother Miles.
Right.
The partner don't want to, you know.
Until they get scared enough, they don't want to leave. You know, until they really get scared enough, they don't want to leave. But, you know, everybody's not that way, but there are some that are. So, you know, the behavior itself As I said, it has to be substantiated. And but as we were saying, we don't want to run into the situations where the woman likes getting beat up. Because we know it exists.
They do.
You know, and so the man's like, hey, he's asking for this. And he's like, yeah, if you don't beat me, I don't want to be here. Okay, then y'all both got a problem.
Right.
And y'all got to go.
Uh-huh.
The both of you. Because it's abnormal behavior. It may not, you know, it may be perfectly fine for the two of you, but you are disrupting. If it becomes public knowledge, you're disrupting disrupting the community.
Right.
And that can be, you know, that by itself. Yeah, it's just abnormal, aberrant behavior. And, I mean, even if they're into that sexually, again, if you keep it in the bedroom, you keep it out of everybody's eyes, then that's between you and you too. But once it becomes public, then that's a problem. Okay, so we're going to assume, and in this case, we have to assume because, you know, safety comes first.
Right.
And we can't afford to be wrong if it's really a real problem. Then, you know, we'll have a hard time explaining, you know, if somebody dies in the community, we got to report that. We'll have a hard time, you know, saying the fact, oh, yeah, we knew what was going on, but we didn't do nothing about it.
Right.
Then we may all be up on charge. So, if it's substantiated, then the person has to go right away. If it's child abuse, then hopefully we have some professional counselors, or that, or the family is willing to come to pastoral counseling concerning that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it doesn't get any better, you know, if abuse is still being noted, because some people grew up getting beat like that, and so that's the way they think they ought to deal with their child.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying somebody, you know, disciplining their child with a whipping. Because I know, heck, if they went by the child abuse laws that are in effect today, they would
have... My parents would have been in jail.
Yeah, my parents.
Yeah, my mama would have been in jail too.
Right. Heck, I remember I got some brand new pants for school, and they were like this peach color, and I played football in them. So I came home with these big old green grass stains in the knee. My mother got an extension cord and went to my behind. I ain't never do that again.
You got that extension cord, too? We used to get that extension cord, too.
Yeah. I mean, he did it once. He got me with an extension cord once. That's once that I can remember. I do remember she did get an extension cord and wore my behind out. I ain't never, ever, you know, do that again. Or a hairbrush or a clothes hanger. I mean,
hey, whatever she had in her hair.
Whatever she could find, yeah. But then, you know, as we got older, when my brothers and sisters would get out of line, then I would get them. My mother didn't have to get them, but my father, I would get them. And so, and that was expected, in, you know, in my family, that, you know, my sisters and brothers that are alive today will tell you, if you messed up in the house and it was worth a whipping, if it was between my siblings that were up under me, I got it. And we're siblings. And it was time when they would all gang up on me. But that's what my mother and father expected. My father was like, hey, if your sisters get pregnant, I'm getting you. And so I always kept a golf club. Any boys come around the house, hey, you ain't supposed to be around here. And you know it. Even up to the time that they got married, I would come home on leave. Their husband would get up and leave. They would. They'd be like, nah, he's crazy. I said, dude, you married to her now. I can care less. But before then, you weren't going to come here and sit in the driveway and, you know, treat my parents' house with any kind of way if I was around. So that was expected. Child abuse, I would say that we offer, if it's, you know, if it's alleged, the child claims that they're being abused, that we get the facts, that we, you know, you talk to the parents, they get some type of counseling, whether it's, you know, pastoral counseling or whether it is we have a professional counselor, and I'm saying professional license, in the state to provide counseling. And if not, then we may have to find outside resources that they have to go to.
Wow.
And if that doesn't work, then, you know, clearly they're acting like the world.
Uh-huh.
And the scriptures tell us if they act like the world, to turn them over to Satan.
Right.
For the destruction of the flesh. So, and that would be the worldly system. How we would handle that. That we would first offer internal counseling. And it has to be, you know, according with the scriptures. If it's just this, a discipline and somebody, you know, read it the wrong way or took it the wrong way, that's one thing. But if you are, if you know, if they're burning a child with cigarettes, I would hope they would even be smoking. But, you know, doing that kind of stuff or beating the child unconscious, you know, clearly abusive, has gone beyond discipline, then, yeah, we would want to step in. Thoughts. Because, you know, y'all women, y'all should have more thoughts on this than I do. I'm just saying.
I don't know about domestic violence because I've never been in it personally.
How many dead bodies you got out there, Sister Mary?
Huh?
So how many dead bodies you got out there?
None.
Oh, okay. I'm about to be shooting people if they come at you or something. All right, I'm just playing with you, Mike.
I know. I know.
Okay.
But I can get some, Brother Miles.
I know you can. We're going to need to get some. We may not be able to let everybody have them when they want to have them. Got to come check them out. Okay, Sister Denise, your thoughts. You're at the top of the list.
I don't know, because, like you said, I don't believe in that either. Abuse. Because you hit me, you look to get it back.
Okay.
And I,
so y'all just being a squabbling, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I know that spousal abuse and child abuse both need to be handled by a counselor. That much I do know.
I wouldn't disagree with you on that at all. Whether it's
so
internal or external. But spousal abuse... and falling, you know, not just physical, because it could be, you know, a lot of women feel like if
mental.
A man talks to them wrong,
mental.
It's abuse.
Right, right.
And so there are different types of abuse that need to be addressed.
Yeah.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to see what the complaint is.
Right,
right.
Have somebody just, you know, they're talking to you crazy on one end, and they both abusing each other, really.
Right.
Pretty much.
And so, it, you know, the facts have to be dug out. I just know that it's never really one-sided, but it can be.
No.
You know, there are people out there that, you know, you can say, yeah, that's clearly him. He's the problem. But then, especially in this society, you got women that can also mentally or emotionally, what, abuse a man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
verbal
abuse, all kind of things. And so all those things have to be taken into, you know, account. And again,
right.
You know, rarely are you going to have to be counseling one of them. It would have to
right.
be both of them. Because, you know, what is the trigger? Well, when she
right.
says this, you know, it makes me feel like this. I react that way. Okay, then find out, well, why do you say that to him? And, you know, it's a delicate situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. There should be counseling. But if it's physical and it's come to fisticuffs, where they are physically fighting like that, then that's a whole different level because it don't take but a hot second to kill somebody.
Sure.
And that's, you know, always, you know, I'm going to always go toward the worst first.
I
mean, that ever
happened. I had a girlfriend killed.
Huh?
I had a girlfriend killed from spousal abuse.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that die from that.
It can happen.
And so, my concern, especially as head of the community, is that we address that at that level first, that we prevent
right.
that. You know, you can have an argument. You know, y'all can have differences, and, you know, and I'm not trying to get involved with that because I know those types of things will come up between two people. They ain't going to always agree on everything.
Right.
And so not trying to get involved with that at that level. But if it clearly comes to where it is abusive, then typically, you know, that's going to be known by somebody other than them. So I don't know too many people that fight real quiet. But if they do, then ain't nobody going to ever know about it anyway.
All right.
But typically, those situations are where the neighbors or somebody going to hear. And if it, you know, comes down to screaming and hollering, somebody's going to hear. If it comes down to their fist fighting, somebody's going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we have to look into, okay, was this just a disagreement and it got out of hand? Those, you know, once it becomes public, then we definitely have to get involved with it. And my concern is first, the man can be stronger, but heck, there are a lot of women that kill men.
Sure.
So, you know, we just need to separate for their own good, both of them. Because, you know, you have one complaining, but you may find out that the real abuser is the other one.
Right.
You know, so just separate them until it can be determined. So we're, as part of, I'm going to say, as part of our housing design, even though we may, let's say, we got in here that there's going to be 10 families in a pod, whether it's single or married, then maybe we only do 9 and have a 10th house that for those types of purposes where somebody can be split up for a time.
Okay.
Or we can say, okay, you're going to have to go live with somebody that's single.
Uh-huh.
If it's domestic, if it's spousal abuse, then, you know, one of you is going to have to go live with somebody else that's single until we sort this thing out.
Right.
If there's children, then if it's one spouse that is committing the abuse, then we might have to make them move out while we establish and do the counseling. If it's both parents, because a lot of times there's things going on in the house and one spouse may know about it but don't want to say anything about it.
Uh-huh.
I've talked to too many young ladies where something was happening to them that shouldn't be happening, but the mother knew and didn't want to say anything. Were afraid they were going to be left alone.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it can be all kind of different situations. We need a basic skeleton format that we can fit anything into.
Yeah.
We have the skeleton of the problem, you know, of the solution, and then we just have to get more specific with the investigation. So for domestic violence, then we can say we're gonna split them up first, and then substantiate whether it's true. And if it's true, then we can go through the version of whether we're gonna offer them both counseling, but they're still split up.
Right.
If the one does not want to. Is not going to be. My fear is that they play the game, and then when they get back together, they really hurt them.
Yeah.
That's always my biggest fear. Because, you know.
Domestic violence don't get better, it get worse.
Yeah, it can, you know, it can get better, but typically it doesn't. Because they're in a, that's the way that person copes. Or that's the way that person copes with that person. And you never know if it's something that they're doing that's triggering it, or this is the way this person has learned to cope.
Oh, okay.
So some men grew up watching their father beat their mother.
Right.
And... you know, my experience has said they're going to react one or two ways. They're either going to grow up and never hit their wife, or they're going to grow up beating their wife.
Hmm.
Because, like me and my brother, we grew up watching our mother get beat until I was like 15, then I stopped my father from doing that until I left home. But I had always swore that I would not do my wife that way. I saw what my mother went
through. Right.
And so I reacted the exact opposite. My brother reacted the exact opposite. We didn't beat our wives. But on the other end, you can have the brother, that's how he learned to cope, and that's how, you know, that's what he believes, how he's supposed to control the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, you know, then it depends upon if that's her belief too. Because that's where a lot of those scenarios come in, where the woman says, if a man won't beat me, then I don't want him. He's not strong enough for me. Because she believes if she get out of line, that that's what he's supposed to do.
But I don't understand how she figured that, because we grew up in the same house, and my father never hit my mother.
Then you have to ask your sister that.
No, she's deceased now, but I left her alone when she told me that. I didn't have nothing else to do with her.
Yeah, she's the only one that could answer that specifically then. Because I know my sisters, they won't put up with a man hitting them.
Uh-uh.
They watch what my father did. So, and none of them are married to this day. because a lot of men are that way. But, you know, I talk to them, and I understand, you know, why they're the way that they are. But then, you know, one of my sisters said, hey, all this women lib stuff, you know, it don't really work. It ain't about all that. That's where a lot of those things come from too. When the woman is told that she's supposed to have this women lib type of attitude. Okay, so she don't know how to submit to her husband. You know, she want to be, if he says something, she want to overrule him or go behind his back. You know, if they talk over a situation and they can't come to an agreement, now this is my position, okay? I'm not saying everybody got to be like this. But if we talk about a situation and we talked it out and we can't agree on it, then I ask the head, then my word stands. Because I'm the head. And if it don't work out right, then I got the right to be wrong.
Right.
Because I'm going to be the one that's going to have to get us out of the situation or come up with a plan to what. Okay, that's just my position, the way I do things. Everybody don't do things that way. Okay, but that's the way I am. Because if I'm going to be the head, then I'm going to be the head.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to always consider what she thinks. But then if we don't can't agree on it, then she needs to submit herself. Because I tried to come to a what, compromise or something that we both could agree with and deal with.
Right.
But if she wouldn't, if, you know, she's so stern about that thing that we can't meet in the middle, then, okay, you need to do what the book says and submit yourself. And this is the way we're going to go. And sometimes I might say, you know what, it's how important is this? If it's not that important, okay, we'll do it your way.
Okay.
You know, I'm not so stern that it's always got to be my way. I'll think about it, you know, and say, okay, is it that important? Is my opinion or understanding in a situation, and is the situation that important? If it's something that is that important and I think that it will impact the family greatly, then I'm going to take the responsibility. Because if I go her way and it don't work out, then she's going to say, well, you didn't do anything about it. Well, we did what you said to do. I've been there, done that. And I ain't tell you something that I heard. I'll tell you something that I went through. So I have learned that if it's that important, then and it's going to, I see a real big impact on the family, or could be a real big impact, and we can't come to a mutual understanding, then we're going to do it my way. And then if it's wrong, then I'm responsible because I am the head. But either way, if we go her way and it don't work, I'm still, because I chose to go her way, I'm still the what, head?
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And I'm still responsible. I just might say, okay, next time I ain't going to listen to you. But you know, that's the way I would handle it. Now, everybody doesn't deal with situations that way, and there are men that believe that their word is absolute what, law. And no matter what you think, they're not even gonna give you a consideration.
Right, or you don't have an opinion.
Right, you don't have an opinion, and I can't tell them that they're wrong because that's them. And the woman that marries them, she ought to know that before she what? Marries them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you marry him and you found that out later, hey, that's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't know him when you married.
Right.
Yeah, I don't try to put my standard or the way that I run things on anybody, except for my own wife. And she needs to abide by that. Because the bottom line is, we're, you know, it's our marriage. But if somebody else's marriage, I'm not going to tell them they got to do things the way that I do it.
Right.
I might suggest, hey, you might want to look at this, but you by no means have to do it. Maybe you grew up, you know, in Essel, and know what motivates them and why they do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Because why is the most important thing. Then you can, you know what you're dealing with. I don't like dealing with symptoms. But, you know, you deal with a symptom, you don't really solve the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
So And if they're not willing to open up that way, or they don't feel like somebody has a right that way, then I'm just going to simply tell them, hey, if it continues to be an issue, and it's a public issue, then we're going to deal with it from that standpoint. Because some people won't, you know, they can't be counseled. They don't want to be counseled. And as far as they're concerned, nobody has no business, you know, interfering in their marriage or their relationship. You know, I knew a brother that beat his wife and, you know, didn't think it was anybody's business that he beat his wife. I was like, dude, if you beat your wife like that and it becomes public knowledge, you might not think it's nobody's business, but any person in their right mind is not going to stand by and let you watch you beat somebody.
Right.
So I said, I won't. If you bring it out in the street, I'm going to get involved with it. And maybe it's me and you fighting now because you don't think I should be involved with you kicking your wife behind. Because that's your husbandly, you know, that's your husbandly right to do that. No. You don't find that in the scripture anywhere. So, as I said, it's a thin line. It's a fine line in which you get involved with. You don't. Safety first. Counseling, offer counseling, and I say offer counseling to both. That way, you can, you know, there's always two sides to every story.
Yeah.
So counseling to both. I agree with you there, Sister Mary. If it's child abuse, then the same thing. And to both parents, not just the one accused of abusing, because typically that don't go on without the knowledge of both parents.
Right.
Make those notes, Sister Mary. We'll probably not write them tonight. But we will write those procedures to, as you know, if this is, occurs, then... the first thing is to separate them, authenticate whether the charges brought or the accusations, let's say the accusations brought are substantiated, you know, they're proven. And then as a solution, we offer internal counseling.
Right.
And then if that doesn't work, then we may try to look at recommending that they get some kind of external counseling if they're willing to. And if they don't want to do that, then depending upon what it is, if it's, you know, physical abuse, then the abuser has to go.
Yeah.
And if other spouse wants to stay, they can stay.
You said both of them didn't want to get counseling, so I was saying both of them leave?
No, I didn't say both of them didn't want to get counseling. I said if they both don't want to, yeah, then they would both have to leave.
Right.
If the abuser doesn't want to get counseling, then... you know, the abuser would definitely have to let go.
Right.
And then the spouse would have the option of whether they, you know, want to
stay or go.
And they'll have to understand. I think we would need to, because, you know, if they want to reconcile, then what do we do with that?
Yeah. That's most time what happened.
Put them on probation.
Yeah, that's a good solution. Again, and that probation then would have to be that there can't be any occurrence, what, during the probation period?
Absolutely.
I would rather say that ever came
to explain it to them that we have to know that you're serious about not doing this abuse thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to say... my personal thoughts on that are that we're going to watch you closely for this probation period.
Uh-huh.
Nothing can happen during that time, but I really have the frame of mind that nothing can happen again ever.
Never.
Because if you've repented and y'all reconciling, then you should be past that and over it and have worked it out to where you're not going to do that. So if
right.
it happens again, then you're just out. And, you know, their spouse has to know they can't ever come back.
Right.
If you want to reconcile, you got to reconcile outside of here. But you can't stay here and reconcile because we've already been through that.
Right.
Okay. Let me bring back up the room. See if go around and get thoughts. I'm hearing right, and I know how Sister Mary is feeling. I know how Sister Denise is feeling. Your input, Sister Lorraine.
I feel the same way. It's just like you said, the most important thing is, as long as we address that, then anything else, like counseling and everything else. But I think that's just the most important thing, is the safety for the person who is being abused. Even if it's not proven, we have to, you might need to add something in there where they will be offered alternative housing or something for their safety.
Okay. Okay. So what notes you got down, Sister Mary, because we're not going to write this stuff tonight.
Okay, I got section 15. No, it's not section 15.
11.15c,
1 and 2. I got spousal child or members abuse. The abuser would be placed into another pod. Child abuse would have to be handled by counseling. But of all things, we safety first.
Okay, so write down one, separation. These are just sub-bullets, just so I can keep track of and say, you know, this is what we said so that when we start writing, we include this. One, separation.
Uh-huh.
Two, authentication. So we're going to separate them for safety first. And we're going to authenticate whether the allegations are what, proven or not?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, counseling. And then if they accept the counseling, then that would be for an undefined period, because it'd probably be something that has to be ongoing until, you know, whoever's doing the counseling feels like the person has it under control, or they made a change, or the spouse feels safe and says, yeah, they trust them to be back, you know, around them.
Uh-huh.
And then if we subparagraph of that, if it is substantiated and counseling doesn't work and the abuser still is abusing, then they would be what, kicked out?
Right.
Be terminated.
Right, terminated. And if the spouse wants to stay, then they have the option of staying. If they want to leave, they have the option of what, leaving?
Right.
If they stay and they later want to reconcile with the person, then a reconciliation would be reconciliation would be for a probationary period. So just put up under recreation and a bullet up under that, probation. And then, you know, the probation period would be, there could be no, there's going to be closer attention paid to them during the probation period. But the behavior cannot ever be repeated.
Right.
Any further
allegations
would be, you know, termination without any chance of reconciling.
Right.
as far as community is concerned. If the abusee wants to leave and be with that person, then that's what up to them. But they couldn't do it in the community. Our notes. When we start to write, we will make sure that we include those sections. I don't feel like writing tonight. Let's continue. Get out of those doors.
That was a bag.
A bag?
No, in the gossip.
All right.
Line in the gossip bag.
Let's look at paragraph 2. If the pod mate obtains a restraining order from a court, then since we're not going to be taking this to the world, they would have to come this way. So if they have a restraining order on their spouse, then that is, you know, substantiated then, not by us, but it's a court order, then their spouse definitely couldn't come. Thoughts on that?
Right.
I agree.
Sister Lorraine, Sister Mary?
I agree.
I was writing.
Okay. I want to add to that, if it is found out that there's, you know, people don't always tell you everything.
Right.
Yeah.
And if they come that way, and then it's found out later that there is a court order that he or she is not supposed to be around each other, then I'm going to say they both have to go because they entered into the community under false pretense.
Right.
Now, we'll deal with some other areas. Let's just deal with this right here. Okay. Now, the rest of this goes back into with the membership coordinator. If they decline, if the membership coordinator, verse C, if the membership coordinator, any other thoughts on C, 1, and 2? I'll get the laws for Arizona, so that's where we're going to be at.
No.
Okay. Let's move on to D. No, understanding that we're not voting to, you know, approve anything. We are just making modifications right now. We're going to have to rewrite C1 and 2 or add to them for policy sake. I just don't feel like writing tonight. If the membership coordinator or officer declines to serve notice, or if the coordinating committee does not approve issuance of a notice, the member requesting that notice be served may appeal the issue to the YFCC board. Okay, so this is going back to the person filing for termination of somebody's contract. And, you know, a pod member is wanting a person's contract terminated. And I guess ND, the membership coordinator or the officer of the class to serve notice. They're not trying to terminate them. Or if the coordinating committee does not approve the issuance of a notice. The 5-day, no, how many days did they give for that?
Five.
They can make it 5 or 14 days. So I guess they look at the situation and say this one is going to be 5 days, but it's going to be 14 days based upon the situation. So if they refuse to give, you know, they don't approve to give the notice, the members requesting that notice be served may appeal to the YFCC board. So this is, in our case, they're one in the same. the coordinating committee,
mm-hmm.
and the YFCC board are the same. So it looks like we will have to separate those duties at some point.
At some point, yeah.
You know, there's two different groups. When notice is approved by both coordinating committee and YFCC lawyer, the membership coordinator shall proceed to serve a 5-day termination notice with right to cure, which specifies the particular behaviors which the member is being asked to cure. So let's say that they are not performing their duties. They got a work log that says, you know, they're supposed to be doing this and they're not doing it, consistently not doing it. And they do it or whatever. And they want them to be terminated because they're not living up to their part.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing what they're supposed to do. They're, you know, not getting up out of bed. And again, you know, we would have to look at that because maybe they suffer from depression or something. There could be a medical reason for that. And so we would have to, before we just say, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to do, we need to find out why.
Right.
And, yeah, so I can see where we would really have to dig into it, and the board would have to dig into it. So, you know, a interview of this person that the allegation is being brought against, you know, they reported that you're not coming to work, you're not, you know, showing up for your shift to do whatever it is that they're assigned to do. And according to the work log by whoever's in charge, they're saying that, hey, you're not showing up, you're not doing it, or you're showing up and you're not doing anything. You know, why? Why
mm-hmm.
are you doing that? They may come back with an allegation against somebody in the pod saying that, you know, they're being treated a certain way, so they're acting a certain way. Then we have to find out if what they're saying is what true.
Right.
Or they may be going through, they may have depression or some other mental disorder going on that we may not be qualified to
handle
or to even diagnose.
Absolutely.
So then we would have to send them someplace to be, what, evaluated? Maybe they need meds. Maybe they need something. I don't know. But we would want to, you know, again, I'm always for, want to be on the side of the member. And if it is some type of issue like that, then we try to, you know, get them the help that they need and not just throw them out.
Right.
So, you know, as part of the investigation, you know, you have to have that interview with that person. And why are you not doing what you're supposed to do? Why aren't you contributing the way that you're supposed to contribute as far as these things go? And these are all, you know, that portion where they're saying about non-rent payments or whatever, that would be a whole separate inquiry anyway, because everybody's income is, that's coming in, supposed to be going into what, central fund?
Right.
So a pod mate should never be bringing that type of allegation anyway. They shouldn't even know. That would be,
right.
You know, wherever that's being handled by the treasurer or whoever. So they would be coming to the member saying, hey, you know, the monies that you said that you were going to be bringing in, they're not coming in. And, you know, what's up with that? That'd be handled. So I think it does say non, you know, for those non-type of issues, non-rent. So this is going to be, you know, they're not getting along with people or they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Maybe they're argumentative. They don't want to get along with anybody. You know, whatever the case may be. Then I think it said that they're, you know, try to first convince the person that's bringing the allegation to do what, file a grievance.
Uh-huh.
Rather than asking for termination of the contract. And then if they don't file a grievance and they want to, you know, still pursue this track, then these procedures come into play. So they're given 5 days. If it's determined that they're going to be, you know, terminate the contract, then they're given 5 days And this one is with cure, meaning that they can find a way to remedy the situation. So if the member cures the behavior within 5 days and reports to the YFCC membership coordinator or membership officer in writing that they have done so, then the notice shall be cured and the member may continue to live in the pod. It's going to be if they have the ability to cure the situation. So if they haven't been coming to work, then they would start coming to work and doing what they're supposed to do. Or if, you know, they got a stereo and they've been playing it loud in the middle of the night and somebody's complaining, then they stop playing it, whatever, you know, the complaint is.
Right.
If they correct the behavior within 5 days, then the situation, according to this, shall be cured. You ask them to stop doing this, they stop doing it. Or you ask them to start doing this, they started doing it. They cured the problem. So whatever you were complaining about, at least for this here right now, it's not an issue. If the member repeats those behaviors within those 5 days, then their contract is automatically terminated, and the membership coordinator will ask them to move out of the pod. Any problems with that?
No.
Okay. Ms. Lorraine?
Problem with that?
Yeah. You say you don't or you do?
I said I do not have a problem with that.
Okay. If the member satisfies the original notice, but within the following year repeats any non-rent breach, members of the pod may again request that the said member contract be terminated, and the process begins again at step one for a new offense. So it's not treated as an old offense. It's now what, new offense?
New offense, right.
So you go through the same procedure all over again. Members with two serious non-rent breaches within 1 year forfeit their assumption for contract renewal. So we have said contract renewal is what, automatic?
Mm-hmm.
If they have two serious breaches, I'm going to take out this non-rent because we're going to assume that these are what, non-rent?
Right.
Because members can't bring that type of allegation anyway. That should be something that somebody in the corporate office or, you know, in that job of treasurer or whatever is keeping track of what's coming in should be what, to be talking to them about that.
Mm-hmm.
So any breach. Time of their lease expiring, they may or may not be issued a new lease at the direction of the YFCC coordinating committee, as advised by the membership coordinator and or membership officer. Anybody have a problem with that statement?
No.
No problem with that one.
Okay. YFCC may require a pod member to participate in a mediation meeting as a requirement for curing a notice or as a step to avoid the issuance of a notice. This meeting may be overseen by the YFCC grievance committee, the membership coordinator, the membership officer, or outside mediators as deemed appropriate by the coordinating committee. It is a breach of the occupancy agreement for which a member may be evicted for a member to refuse to participate in good faith in a mediation meeting requested by YFCC. Any problems with K, L, and M?
No.
Who is going to be the outside mediator?
We don't know yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure that we can, between the grievance committee or the membership coordinator or the membership officer, one of those, we probably would need an outside person on this.
Uh-huh.
I don't see us ever having to go to the outside, but and we may just remove that wording. So there's no, you know, so that we just don't have that in there.
All right.
A mediator. When we say outside, let's just change that from outside to a mediator.
Mediator.
Because that could be any member of what, of a different pod or that's not involved with the situation.
No.
That has the capability to mediate.
Right.
Okay. So no problems with K, L, and M now?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. When a member fails to satisfy the terms of termination, a termination notice, they will be notified within 48 hours that their contract has been terminated and informed that they have a right to appeal the termination to the board of directors. Appeals must be filed with the YFCC coordinating officer within 3 days of the member's notification that their contract has been terminated in order to stay the filing of an eviction action. So in order to stop that eviction action, they got to ask for an appeal within 3 days?
Right.
Other than that, the eviction goes into what effect, and they got to go?
Yes.
Right.
If no appeal is filed and the members refuse to move out of the pod, the membership coordinator or coordinating committee to pull out an AR-15 and escort them all. Okay. If no appeal is filed, the member refuses to move out of the pod, the membership coordinator or coordinating committee shall request that the YFCC lawyer file an eviction action of the contract. The eviction action requires the member to physically remove themselves from the premises. Yeah, we're probably going to have our own local sheriff or something like that. Somebody or members within the community that are authorized to take whatever action or escort somebody out of the community. That's what it comes to. So we will hold that last paragraph and with the YFCC lawyer or anything with the YFCC lawyer.
Okay.
And we will come up with an appropriate member of the community for that. And then when it comes to enforcing this, I think we're going to need a sergeant at arms, and more than likely that's going to be a brother. And they would be responsible for physically removing somebody by whatever means they saw fit.
Right.
Whether it's deputizing other members and say, hey, come, I need some help, you know, getting this person out of here because they don't want to leave. Or whatever it takes, but you know, we got to have the security aspect there.
Right.
So I'm going to make a motion that we stop here for this evening, together next week, and we will rewrite C1 and 2, or, you know, modify them to add what we already said about, you know, safety first, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then we will come up with something for the YFCC lawyer. Even if that job has to fall to the coordinating committee.
Okay.
And the coordinating committee just has what, final say?
Right.
I'm sure with everybody on the, you know, on that committee, then people are going to what, try to be objective, at least, I would hope.
Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
Yeah. So we will pick it up here. We will re-review this section again next week, and we will rewrite. And then we will, you know, take a vote and either, you know, to adopt the section as the way that we have written it. It just becomes part of the policy. Amen.
Amen.
And let me do this. I'm going to save the same date. We didn't actually vote on anything.
We didn't vote on anything.
Right. We didn't vote. We said we didn't have a problem with stuff, but we didn't vote to approve it.
Right.
So, we'll, you know, once we have everything modified, then we will vote on 11/15, all of it. We'll vote on it all at one time.
Okay.
Anybody got anything else they want to bring up?
I don't.
I don't.
No.
Okay, then I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
A second.
A second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned, and Sister Mary, if you will pray us out.
Dear precious Father God, thank you for allowing us to have another productive meeting, and thank you for the additional people that we have on with us, and thank you so much for Brother Miles. May we all just stay cheerful and happy that we are and get to our bylaws. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So we will meet again on next Thursday. We will pick it up where we left off. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. Shalom, my brothers and sisters. Peace and blessings.
Shalom.
And theme song.
some judgment. You always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom.
Shalom, everyone.
Shalom, family. Peace and blessings to you all. See you guys tomorrow. Shalom, Sister Hazel. If you're not asleep.
Good night.
All right, good night.
Thank you.